April 10th, 2016, in Houston, Texas, and we're going to be going through all of Mana Shiksha. So thank you again for coming. Can everyone see both me on the screen?
Yes.
Maybe we can turn that light off also. Thank you for taking so much trouble. Yes. Yes, why don't you, yes. And you came to all my other presentations, so you let them see this time. Maybe just, yeah. No, you need to.
She's sitting here. She's like all over there.
Yeah, maybe just really move, yeah, if that's okay. Thanks. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. You already came to my other presentation, so you already know this by heart, right? Okay. All right. Are we ready? So we're going to be meditating today on the splendid instructions to the mind written about 500 years ago by Raghunath Das Goswami. And this translation took over about 3 years to do. We wanted to have a translation that was very true to the original text. So our Sanskrit translator, Hari Parshad Prabhu, was born in a Goda Sarasvat Brahmana family. And he studied Sanskrit. Maybe we can turn that light off also, is that possible?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Expert. He has studied Sanskrit in the very traditional way since childhood. He's a disciple of Radha Govinda Maharaj. And our Bengali translators are Pran Govinda Prabhu, who lives in Alachua, and Krishnabhishek Ghosh Prabhu. Krishnabhishek is a professor in Michigan. Both of our Bengali translators were born in Bengal. Krishnabhishek comes in the line of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he has produced his PhD dissertation on Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So what was in Bengali were Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentaries. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had a prose commentary and also a song commentary. This edition is the first time the song commentary has been published. And also we have published commentary of contemporary Vaishnavas, Shivaram Maharaj, Sachinandan Swami, Jayadwaita Swami, Bhakti Vidyan Swami, which really take the teachings of Mana Shiksha and bring them to 2016. So why are we even interested in Mana Shiksha? Well, the first reason is that it's what's called a padati. So pada means step, hati means progress. So we are all interested in making progress. Everybody here interested in making progress through love of God? Would you all like to go to the spiritual world and love God? Or somebody wants to stay here and just have a bank account or something? Actually, it was interesting. The other day we presented this, and one gentleman came up to me afterwards, and he said, I can use all these principles when I play the stock market as a day trader. So, I don't know. That wasn't the purpose of the book, but maybe you can even use it like that. I couldn't figure out how he was applying it in that way. But if we want to know how to become fully enlightened, how to attain love of God, what are the steps, how to really become Krishna conscious? I asked one lady the other day, what do you want to do in life? Oh, I want to be Krishna conscious. I said, what does that mean to you, to be Krishna conscious? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that this book is one of two instruction manuals on how to fall in love with Krishna. And also Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in Jiva Dharma that Rupa Goswami has taught us what to do, but Raghunath Das Goswami has taught us how to do it. So many times we read the instructions, you know, the nectar of instruction, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, even Upadesh Amrita, and we say, oh, well, how do I do this? What are the steps? Many times we have a whole explanation how to go from being a materialistic person to starting Krishna consciousness, and then there's all kinds of instructions about being fully Krishna conscious. But that in-between time, what do we do? So Raghunath Das Goswami in this book, Sri Mana Shiksha, has given very good step-by-step instructions about what we should do. And the other reason that, by the way, we love children and they're fine, as long as they're not screaming, it's fine. So the other reason that this book is very important is that it establishes the International Society for Krishna Consciousness and Bhaktisiddhanta's line in general as being bona fide followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So here we're celebrating Gaur Nithai. And what did Lord Chaitanya teach? What was the main purpose for Lord Chaitanya's appearance? Does anybody know?
Krishna Prem.
Krishna in Vraja, right? love of Krishna, with spontaneous love. This was the main thing. Krishna Das Kaviraj explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that this is the main reason for Lord Chaitanya's appearance. And as we'll talk about a little bit later, Lord Chaitanya, through Swarup Damodar, explained two processes by which one could attain love of God, one the outer path and one the inner path. And Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati primarily taught the inner path, as did all of his disciples. But people who only know the outer path, they had this controversy that maybe Bhaktisiddhanta wasn't actually teaching Krishna Prema. Maybe he was teaching just rules and regulations. So this Manushiksha very clearly establishes that Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati is teaching the same philosophy and practice taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as are his devoted disciples such as Srila Prabhupada. So the book is divided into three main parts. The first part gives our qualification. What do we have to do to start on this path of love of God? What has to be our orientation? Then the next four verses go through the path itself and the obstacles. And the next four verses talk about what happens in perfection, and then finally there's a benedictory verse. So I like to teach this more in three seminars, or six, or 12. To teach it in one, over 1 hour, means I have to go a little quickly. So I hope you will bear with me, that I'm just touching on... Is it possible to get some water? That I'm just going to be touching on many of these points very briefly. You will probably have lots of questions. So I urge you to please consider getting this book. We're willing to let it go here for $20. Amazon will be selling it for $25. And we were very fortunate that all the production costs for the book were donated. So it's just a question of recouping the printing costs. And anything you want to give above that, we have a project where every day we clean Radhakund, Shamakund, and the Govardhan area. We're the only organization that's doing that daily. And daily we feed the widows there. Again, we're the only, thank you so much, organization that's doing that daily. Some people do that like just on festival days. And we also have, we commissioned 12 original oil paintings, one for each of the verses, and 120 black and white drawings. And many of them, we have prints for sale on radharani.com, which is where you can read about our project also. And six of the paintings we have as original oil paintings. If you know anybody who wants original art, that will also help us in our cleaning of Radhakund and our feeding of the widows there. So again, I do apologize in advance that we are going to go through quickly. Please bear with me on this. And we are just touching it. No, we're just touching the subject. So to really go deep, you'll need to study a little further. So this is the qualification for taking this inner path of attraction to Krishna. Now, the benediction given at the end of this book by Raghunath Das Goswami is that if we simply sing these verses in a sweet voice, trying to understand them, then we will attain the jewel of love of God. So would you like to do that? It's very simple, huh? Sing them, sweet voice. That means you try to have a sweet voice. If you don't naturally have a sweet voice, I'm sure Raghunath Das Goswami will excuse you. With understanding. Now, the tune for this is the Jagannath Astakam. How many of you know the Jagannath Astakam? Anybody? Not so many. Okay. That may be a little difficult. With the Jagannath Astakam, the last line is sung a little differently, but here we have to sing all four lines the same. So we're going to sing together, not call and response, and then we can say the English together. So we'll do our best to do that. Okay? Can everyone try to sing with me?
Yes.
Oh dear brother, oh mind, having given up all pride, please develop unprecedented and excessive attachment to Sri Guru, to Sri Vrindavan, the abode of cows, to the devotee residents of Vrindavan, to all the devotees on this planet, to the confidential mantra given by Sri Guru, to the holy names of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, and to the process of surrendering to the fresh youthful couple of Raja. Holding your feet, I beseech you with sweet words. So sometimes we say we should beat our mind with shoes. But Raghunath Das Goswami is saying, my dear mind, please. So sometimes when someone's very difficult, you pacify them like this. So he's saying we should have unprecedented and excessive love. So this is the starting point. Not just a ritual, not just a formula, not just a culture. And who should we love? We should love our teachers, our Diksha Gurus, our Shiksha Gurus, anyone who helps us on the spiritual path. And we should see them not just as saintly persons, but as our friends, as our well-wishers. Mobile phones are fine as long as the music matches the presentation. It has to be like background music. Then it's no problem. So to have great affection and caring for those who are helping us spiritually. And this is going to be important to have one pointed attachment for the lotus feet of Radhakrishna. Generally in this world, people have attachment and concern for so many things. I love my family, I love my job, I love my country, I love my home, I love my car, I love my computer, I love my hobby. So one pointed. But we're loving so many things. We're also loving Guru. This we'll explain in a moment. And actually, anyone who loves Krishna should love everyone and everything that Krishna loves. So because Krishna loves everyone and everything, when you're one-pointed to Krishna, you will love everyone. But if you try to love things separately from Krishna, it will not be very good. Just like we have this newly married couple here, right? So if you say, I only will love my wife, I will not love my in-laws, will that work very well? Not so well. When you marry someone, then the whole family is there, correct? Right? Of course, sometimes in this world we don't like that so much, but with Krishna, when you have a relationship with Krishna, then you immediately have a loving relationship with everyone else. And to have great love for the sacred places. This is also a sacred place. So sacred place can also be in our home. We can create a little place like the spiritual world in our home, and we should have love for that. Ordinary people have love for their homeland. This is where I grew up. This is my great-grandfather's house, right? And they will go to war, and they will give their right arm. We have a saying in English, I would give my right arm for that. But people will literally give their right arm to fight for the little piece of dirt that's on this side of the border. Isn't it? Yes? So if we can be that attached to our homeland, or people get attached to some home of some celebrity or something like that. So we should have that kind of love for the places associated with the Lord. And then Raghunath Das Goswami says something wonderful about our love for those who love the Lord. So we love everyone, but particularly love for those who are trying to love the Lord. Love for those whose minds dwell in Vrindavan. As you can see, these are some of the black and white drawings that we have in the book we've put into the presentation. So those whose minds and maybe bodies also dwell in Vrindavana, dwell in Mayapur, dwell in the Holy Dham. We have great love for them. But we also have great love for anybody in any tradition, even if their mind doesn't dwell in Vrindavan, who's fully dedicated themselves to the Lord. So if you want to start on this path of love of God, you have to love everybody who wants to love God. If you say, I will only love people who are Hindus, or I will only love people who are Vaishnavas, or only Gaudiya Vaishnavas, or only Gaudiya Vaishnavas in Houston, then there's no possibility of loving God. Does that make sense to everybody? Suridam Sarvabhutanam. Krishna loves everyone, and especially people who are trying to find him. And astonishingly, Raghunath Das Goswami says, also love just the teachers of religion, even if they're not very advanced. Those who are just teaching morality and religion, have love for them. Don't be proud, he says. Saradam Vanhipa. Don't be proud in thinking, well, I have a better religion, or I am higher in my religion. And one should love the mantras, the Gayatri mantras and the sacred mantras. So those of us who chant Gayatri mantra, it's not that we should chant just officially, but with love, with affection for our mantras. And love for the holy names of the Lord. Again, we're regularly chanting Hare Krishna, and sometimes it's like, oh, that's just background music while we're doing something else. Or that's just filling the time until the speaker starts. Or just some vow I took that I'm going on my beats, Hare Krishna, 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 and when am I going to get to do what I want? But actual love. Ordinary persons, they love the name of their beloveds. Isn't it a fact? Right? And of course, we love our own name. If someone says our own name, immediately we become very attentive. And this is the oil painting that we had done for this verse, showing this is Nandagram from a description of Kavi Karnapur. One thing we've done in the smaller volume is for each of the color paintings, we've given many descriptions from other shastras and works of the acharyas on which the painting was based. So it not only illustrates the verse, but it also is being drawn from many other authoritative sources, and there's no way you can see it over there. So why don't you sit someplace else? Look at all that empty space. I don't know who they're expecting to sit there in this empty space. You know, you can all move forward a little bit, really. Look at this. We have enough space there for another, like, 20 people. You sure you don't want to sit there? Hey, get a good view. And can you see from over there? Are you sure? Because there's places to sit even here. All right. So you can see a little bit of a close-up of the painting. Now, in addition to having so much love, Raghunath Das Goswami also says, Sada Damvan Hitva. One must give up pride. Sada means always. But this means at least an attempt in the beginning to give up pride. So why do we have to give up pride to start the spiritual path? Anybody have any idea? Why can you not start a spiritual path if you're proud? Anyone? Any idea?
False ego.
That is just simply your false ego. I am great. I am wonderful. Is that very spiritual? I am great. I am wonderful. I am the center of the universe. That is the opposite of spiritual. Why else do we need to have some humility? Some other thoughts?
Because we have to surrender.
We have to surrender. Actually, we're always surrendering. But humility is admitting that I'm surrendering. Right? My body says go to sleep. How long can you not surrender? Eventually, you just fall asleep. And also to learn and to grow. How can you learn without humility? Is it possible? If you think I already know everything, then you cannot learn anything. Okay, so we're going on to verse 2, if we can sing this together. Indeed, do not perform any pious act prescribed in the Vedas, everyone, and supporting literature, or a sinful act forbidden in them. Staying here in Vraja, please perform profuse service to Sri Sri Radha Krishna. O mind, unceasingly remember the son of Sachi as the son of Nanda Maharaj, and Sri Guru as the dearest servant of Lord Mukunda. So you may think, dharma and adharma? I give up both? What will I do? Everything is dharma or adharma. What else is there? Raghunath Das Goswami is talking about a mood, and this is from Bhagavad Gita 4:17. There's three ways of action: karma, vikarma, akarma. And we have a mood when we think of ourselves as doing karma, that I am a good and dutiful person. So my guess is everyone in this room is a good and dutiful person. But if that is our mood, if that is our identity, I am a good and dutiful person. That's not love. If you love someone, you are dutiful. But if you are only dutiful, that's not love. Just your servant can be dutiful. You know? If the husband comes home, he says, my dear, I did not earn any money today because I love you, but simply because I am a good husband. And I want you to know I am a very good husband. And today I even brought you a diamond bracelet and a dozen roses because I am a good husband. Now you're going to love me or not? So then is it about love and relationship? What is it about only? Himself, isn't it? Right? The wife says, I cook this meal because I am a good wife. I want everyone to know I'm a very good, proper wife. Then it's about her. There's no love, no care for the family. Just everybody will think I am good. So, of course, those who are on the spiritual path, they do dharma. But they're not thinking, I'm a very good person. And, of course, some people like to think they're a bad person, isn't it? I'm sure nobody here. But some people, they like to think like that. I'm bad. Nobody even knows how bad I am. I take home the pencils from work and I make extra copies and nobody finds out because I'm bad. You know, that's another kind of avimana. So he's saying giving up both of these. I'm a good person or I'm a bad person. And just simply, I am a spiritual being. I am a spiritual being. Because both the good and the bad, both dharma and adharma, entangle us in the law of karma. If we think I'm a good person, then we get good karma. I'm a bad person, then we get bad karma. But instead, we should do everything for the pleasure of the Lord. Now, the Lord likes us to do dharma, dharma tu sakshat bhagavat pranita, but not for the sake of dharma, but for the sake of love. Not for the sake of dharma and ego, but for the sake of love. So here, we're offering everything to the Lord. And then about being one-pointed to Radha and Krishna? What about the other forms of the Lord? What about the form of Lord Chaitanya? Raghunath Das Goswami says, see, the son of Mother Sachi as equal to the son of Nanda Maharaj. So in all the different forms of the Lord, Nisinga, Varaha, Korma, Narayana, see, oh, there is my beloved Krishna. If we want to go to Vrindavana, if we want to go to Goloka Vrindavana and be with Radha and Krishna and the cowherd boys and the cows, then we want to focus on Krishna, because yetamam prapadyante, tam stadaiva bhajamyaham. Whatever we want, Krishna's fulfilling that. So if we want Ramachandra, then we will go there. If we want Nisinga, we will go there. If we want Narayan, we will go there. So we focus on Krishna, and in all of his avatars and all of his manifestations, we see there is Krishna. So it was interesting that Raghunath Das Goswami talked about Krishna as the son of Nanda Maharaj. So in our painting for this verse, we took a nice picture of Krishna and Nanda Maharaj, but he also says in this verse to focus on Radha Krishna. So we're thinking, how can we have a painting showing Radha Krishna and Nanda Maharaj? And in this painting, we also have Radha. And this painting the whole painting is a wonderful story from the Brahma Vaivarta Purana of when Radha and Krishna get married on the other side of the Jamuna at Bandiravan, which I don't have time to tell now, but you can read it in the book. So also he says that one should see Guru as the most dear friend of the Lord, because he said to love Guru and then to love God is everything. So how do you do that? If you love God as everything, okay, all the avatars, all the incarnations, I can love as Krishna in that form, but how will I love Guru? He says, love Guru as the dearmost friend. And here we see Radha and Krishna with their dear friends picking up the devotees from the ocean of material illusion. Okay, now we're going to go to the third introductory verse, setting what kind of mindset and what kind of consciousness we have in order to embark on this path of enlightenment. So we can sing this together. Listen, O mind, if you desire in every birth to reside in the land of Raja with loving attachment and to serve the youthful couple Sri Sri Radha Krishna in close proximity, then clearly remember and offer obeisances to Sri Swarup, to Sri Rupa and his associates in Vrindavan, and to Sri Rupa's elder brother Sri Sanatana. So Raghunath Das Goswami has already said we love everyone in every genuine religion. But here he's saying if you want to go to Vrindavan, then you really need to follow Swarup Damodar, Rupa, and Sanatan. Because at least at this time in history, they are the main ones who are teaching about Krishna in Vrindavan. So there are other bona fide Vaishnava Sampradayas, other bona fide followers of the Vedas, and there are bona fide followers of Jesus and other spiritual teachers. But to find out about Krishna in Vrindavan is not so easy. It's not so easy. So although we have all love and respect for them, the instructions for how to attain Vrindavan is given especially in the jewels of the books from Swarup Damodar, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and of course here, Raghunath Das Goswami. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially taught his dear associate, Swarup Damodar Goswami, how one can awaken the dormant love of God that is within our heart and come to our full perfection of life. Swarup Damodar, as we mentioned earlier, taught this in two different paths, the outer path and the inner path. The outer path involves a lot of specific meditations and mantras, takes very many hours a day, and it comes to be associated with the path of falling in love with Krishna because it's outer, and therefore you can see if someone's doing it or not. But Raghunath Goswami taught the inner path that's delineated here in Manushiksha. And because it's an inner path, it's not so externally visible. You can't just tell by looking at someone if they're following this inner path or not. The outer path can also be perverted and twisted and cheapened, but the inner path cannot. And so Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati dedicated himself to teaching the inner path. In his time, the outer path had become twisted and perverted. And his dedication to the inner path is shown here in the Gaudiya Math logo, where he talks about following the rules in terms of Lakshmi Narayan and developing spontaneous love in terms of Radha and Krishna. And we have a chapter in our book dedicated to going into these points in more depth and showing how this book establishes that Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati and his followers, Srila Prabhupada, were following the inner path of the spontaneous love for Krishna. And you may say, well, what do you mean by spontaneous love for Krishna? How is it different from just bhakti yoga in general? So when we start on the path of bhakti yoga, we're following it, well, we have some experience. Maybe we have something offered to Krishna and we say, wow, what is that taste? Or maybe we're in a kirtan and we experience something beyond the musical expertise of the kirtan singers. Right? We have some experience in Krishna consciousness that cannot be explained by the material elements of the thing we're experiencing. Yes, I think most of us have had some experience. Like Lord Chaitanya said, what is the taste of this food? that's beyond the ingredients that are in the food. So all of us have some taste in Krishna consciousness, but in the beginning we tend to follow mostly, well, maybe it's our culture and our mother and father followed, or maybe we're convinced by logic, we're convinced by the Shastra, we're convinced by the gurus. So that's compared to this picture here. This gentleman is holding the Bhagavad Gita, and he's holding it tightly, but he's kind of half asleep. He hasn't really awakened to his nature. He's following the rules because he's convinced, mostly intellectually, with some amazing experiences. And the path of spontaneous love is shown here. When one starts to wake up, when one's original, inherent, specific, loving relationship starts to awaken for Krishna. And one starts following the process of bhakti because, oh, I want to be Krishna's friend, or I want to be Krishna's servant, or I want to be Krishna's beloved. And whether one is following bhakti out of logic or whether one is following bhakti out of spontaneous love, everyone engages externally in all of the processes of bhakti. The external following on the inner path will be practically identical. But on spontaneous love, gradually, like a bud turning into a flower, the heart will open to a specific kind of relationship of love with Krishna. So in this verse, Raghunath Das Goswami says, sa ragam, to have some raga, some attachment. And we think, wait a minute, Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, become free of all attachment. But this is an attachment to God. This is an attachment to the spiritual, not an attachment to selfishness. And that may awaken in different forms. It may awaken that, oh, I'd like to be Krishna's servant, like Raktak and Paktrak, the chief of Krishna's servants. Or I might like to be one of Krishna's friends. Who are some of Krishna's chief friends? Does anyone know?
Sudama.
Sudama and? Madhu Mangal. Anyone else? Subala, yes. Or one may awaken to thinking, I'd like Krishna like my child. So who are the chief devotees in that mood? Yasoda, who else? Nanda Maharaj and? Devaki, yes, yes. Here we also have Balaram with his mother, Rohini. Right? Here we have Nanda with Yasoda and Rohini and Krishna and Balaram. Or one may awaken to wanting to have an amorous relationship with Krishna and follow, of course, the chief of his amorous devotees is? Is? Who is the chief of Krishna's amorous devotees? Radharani, yes. Certainly, you all know that, yes? Can you all hear me? Am I talking too quietly? Do I need the mic? Can you hear me? Yes? You can hear me. Okay. So this is the painting we've done for this verse, showing the awakening of one's specific love for Krishna. And because it's just the beginning awakening, you have the dust raised by the cows, and things are a little dusty and hazy. And you're just kind of seeing Krishna and his associates from behind. Right? So starting to wake up. Please, come in and have a seat so you can see. I think you've probably been in the kitchen for many hours. Why don't you come out of the kitchen and you can, don't worry, you can go back in the kitchen later. We won't stop you later, but come sit here. So this is our introductory verse to have great love for a guru, great love for the mantras, for the holy name, for all the devotees, for the sacred places, to have humility, to see Krishna in all of his incarnations, the guru as the good friend of the Lord, to give up thinking, I am a good person or I am a bad person, and think simply, I am a servant of the Lord, and to at least want to awaken one's specific, individual, eternal, spiritual relationship with Krishna. So now we've started. Now we're ready to really start on the path. And it's a shining path, and it's a beautiful path. And we think, okay, now I'm going to get there to my destination in 1 week, right? Or 1 month, I'm just going to sit down, chant Hare Krishna, and 1 week, I'll be an enlightened soul. So maybe, but generally, we have to go through some obstacles that take some effort. So when you go on a journey, there are some obstacles. So just like I had a grandson who traveled with me to Vrindavan, and he loved it there so much. He said, Grandma, I want to go myself now. So I think he was 15 then. So he went to Vrindavan for Kartik. And we told him, okay, we're going to give you a money belt to keep your passport and your ticket and your money. And don't take it off when you're traveling. So, you know, 15 years old. So we get a call from him from the Singapore airport. Everything was stolen, you know. How did it get stolen? I took it off in the bathroom, you know. Thankfully, somebody returned the passport and the ticket, but not the money. So there's obstacles, right? When you're on a journey, there's obstacles. And to know what are the obstacles and how to deal with them. Now, this part of Manashiksha, my dear friends, I'm warning you, it's going to go deep. It's going to go deep. And if you really get into Manashiksha in these verses, you'll need to confront some things about yourself that are not so pretty. But we also have solutions here. And if you don't want truth and authenticity, then the spiritual life is not for you. Satyam param dhimahi. We want to meditate on absolute truth. So if we want to meditate on truth, then we have to ourselves become truthful. So these next four verses are getting deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper until we are fully and completely who we are, until we are authentic, until we have peeled off all of the pretense and the hypocrisy and the lying and the cheating that we do without even knowing that we're doing it. But I warn you, this is it's deep. And when we were working on this book, spent 3 years working on getting the translators and editing, there were many times I had to kind of stop for a little bit because it was like, ooh, this is intense stuff. Things I really need to deal with in my own heart. So I don't think this is the kind of book you're going to sit down and read overnight. It's not that kind of thing. It's the kind of thing you're going to get into and read it and say, oh, now what can I do with this? Then how can I make the next step? So the first obstacle is sound. The first thing to consider is sound. What we hear and what we say. So if we can chant this together. Oh mind, abandon the prostitute of mundane talks who plunders all intelligence. Do not listen at all to the stories of the tigress named Mukti, liberation, who devours all souls. Moreover, also give up attachment to the husband of Lakshmi, Sri Narayana, who only leads one to Vaikuntha. Instead, here in Vraja, serve Sri Sri Radha Krishna, who give one the jewel of their own love. So, you know, Srila Prabhupada would say, a foolish person is revealed as soon as they open their mouth. Right? A well-dressed fool, they open their mouth and you can immediately tell they're a fool. Politicians are very good at this, aren't they? They look very good and they open their mouth and we think, what a fool. What we talk about reveals what we're really interested in. We can claim, I have love for God, I care about spirituality, but what do we talk about? What do we listen to? That shows our actual interest. And it creates our future. As you all know, the whole material cosmos was created from sound. What sound? Omkar. Created everything. Everything that's apparently solid is vibrating. There's a sound. And the sounds that we make and the sounds that we hear create our future. They build our mind and body for the future. As Krishna says, yam yam vapi saram bhavam tvaja chante kalevaram tam tam evaiti kante yasrata bhavita. Whatever is our bhava, whatever is our mood, and that is produced mostly from sound. So if you say, yes, I'm very spiritual, and all you talk about is the football game and the celebrities and the stock market, then that builds that future. And Raghunath Das Goswami uses some very heavy term here. He says, talking about material things, it's like a lady of the night, like a prostitute. So these prostitutes, what are they? They look, oh, I am so attractive. I am so attractive and I will give you love. Do they give you love? Do they love their customers? No. What do they want from their customers only? Money. Actually, they have contempt for their customers. So the material talks, it looks like, oh, it'll be very attractive, it'll make me happy. But then you wake up and your spiritual wallet is empty. There was no one who loved you. It was just a pretense, and your spiritual wallet is empty. And then he says, what about talking about moksha? He says, that's like a tiger that eats yourself. So why is that? Because love and liberation are opposite. Right? So like you're a newly married man. So if you go to your wife and you say, I would just want my freedom. Would she like that very much? No. Just like in the marriage ceremony, we tie the hands of the bride and groom, right? There's a nice story that Jiva Goswami tells when Radha becomes the queen of Vrindavan. She says, anyone who's bound can become liberated. And her friends start to cry. They say, we're bound to you in love. We don't want to be liberated. Krishna said that to Rukmini. Oh, I think you picked the wrong husband. Now you can go. You're free. And she fainted. Of course, real love is voluntary. So real love and real freedom in one sense are exactly the same. But if one is focused on one's own freedom and one's own liberation, one cannot love. So therefore, it's like a tigress. If all we're thinking about is I'm suffering so much, my back hurts, I don't have enough money, I don't like my boss, let me just merge into the Brahman, then we lose ourselves. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, it's like a prisoner who thinks they'll get out of jail by suicide. And he says, these desires for materialism and liberation are like two witches. And then Raghunath Das Goswami says, don't be too attached to Lakshmipati. So this may be a very difficult point. What's wrong with Lakshmipati and going to Vaikuntha? But the thing is that those who are attached to Lakshmipati, it's interesting he uses the word Lakshmipati, not just Narayan. They like the idea of having the opulence of Vaikuntha. With Narayan. With Narayan. Not selfishly. So I have one friend who is telling me, I like having friends who are wealthier than I am. I said, oh, you don't want to compete with them? It doesn't create a problem that you and your wife then want to compete with them? He said, oh, no, no. What happens is we get to enjoy their wealth through them. He says they have a birthday party for their six-year-old that costs $10,000, and we get to go and go on the, you know, our children go in the bouncy castle, and they get to see the magician. He said, we have another wealthy friend that has a yacht. So, you know, we go visit our wealthy friend. We get to ride on the yacht. Now, he's not making friends just so his children can ride and jump in the bouncing castle and go. He actually likes these people. He genuinely likes them. But he also likes to enjoy their opulences. You understand? It's not just about them. So the desire to go with Lakshmipati is a desire, certainly, to be with Narayana, to love Narayana, to serve Narayana. But there's also some desire that I will enjoy Narayana's opulences with him. So this should be given up. One should just want love. If one wants to go to Vrindavan, just like the gopis, they see Narayana and they say, please, show us Krishna. Be in the mood of Krishna. The sweet cowherd boy who's not there as God, he's there as Nanda's son. Right? And how does one do this? How does one give up the prostitute of ordinary talk, the tigress of thinking about my own liberation, or attraction to the opulences of God? One has to get a jewel. So you know that some jewels are very powerful, right? They can even cure diseases, change one's fortune. So this is a very powerful jewel one should get, and it is the jewel of the love that Radha and Krishna have for each other. All the residents of Vrindavan, their love for each other is just selfless and giving and beautiful and always increasing and increasing their own beauty and qualities. And when we have this wonderful jewel, then none of the cheating of the world will attract us. So now we come to the point where our talking and listening is about spiritual things. I mean, obviously we have to keep up with the news of the world and our job, but we're focused, and the sound in our life is spiritual. But that's not enough. The next obstacle is about what we do. While here on the revered path of devotion, I have been attacked by the hideous gang of lust, etc., who have bound my neck with the troublesome, dreadful ropes of wicked deeds. I am being killed. Cry out piteously like this to the devotees of Sri Krishna, the destroyer of Baka. O mind, they will save you from these enemies. This is whether we walk our talk. We're talking about spiritual things, but do we do it? Do we do it? And we've all had experience, like Arjuna talks about in the Bhagavad Gita, that we may feel forced to do things that we know are not right. And this is, we're on the shining path of devotion here, but we have these thieves here, and their names are lust, anger, envy, greed, illusion, and madness. And they have ropes made out of wicked deeds. Their ropes are made out of the things we know we're not supposed to be doing. So we're speaking spiritually, but then privately, we do this and say this and act this way, and we don't like it. We feel that we're bound around the neck, being dragged around like a dog on a leash. And we may try to stop. Okay, I'm not going to turn on my TV today. And then we find ourselves watching it and wasting all of our time. I'm not going to gossip about my friends. And we find ourselves doing it anyway. These are the ropes dragging us around. And how do we get free of them? Raghunath Das Goswami says, we cry out in humility. Remember that giving up pride thing? We cry out in humility to the devotees of the killer of Baka. Baka is a great demon, a wizard who took the form of a crane. Mm-hmm. So crane looks like a great yogi, standing on one leg, deep in meditation and peaceful, until there comes a fish. And then back to the yogi. So this is the hypocrisy of this part of Manashiksha. I talk about Krishna, I look like a very spiritual person until a fish comes along, you know? My whatever is a fish for me. And then again I go back to the big yogi. You understand? Yes? Yes? And Krishna killed this great demon of Baka, the personification of hypocrisy. In this hypocrisy, we are deceiving others. Yes? We're not deceiving ourselves. We know I'm talking about spiritual things and privately I'm doing something else. We know that. We're not deceiving others. We're not deceiving ourselves, but we're deceiving others. Important point. So we call out to those who are devotees of the killer of Baka. And Bhaktivinoda says, to the saintly devotees of the Lord headed by Narada, Bhishma, and Arjuna, I offer my respectful obeisances. So this is our painting for this verse and some close-up. Could these people get rid of these thugs? What do you think? Could Bhishma and Arjuna get rid of this lust, anger, envy, greed, and illusion for us? And they come and they cut these ropes and free us. Because these devotees of the Lord, these devotees of the killer of Baka, they are free from hypocrisy. They are humble enough to want to be authentic. We can become free also by the books of the great devotees. We have here the leaves of the books cutting these ropes. And when we associate with people who are free from hypocrisy, our heart, acting like a crystal stone, reflects their good qualities. And then we can be the kind of people we want to be. Isn't it frustrating? You know, I have my ideal Urmila up there. That's how Urmila is supposed to behave, and that's what she's supposed to be. And then I have the Urmila I see in the mirror every day. And how can I get from what I say I want to be, what I say I'd like to do, to be the actual person? Then I must get free from being dragged around by Kamari, by piteously crying out, I'm being killed, to the truthful and authentic devotees of the killer of Baka. All right, now, at this point in Manashiksha, we're talking about spiritual life, hearing about spiritual life, and our actions are now in line with our words. We now appear to have integrity. We now appear to be acting according to our beliefs. Are we done? Are we done? Looks like we're done. And many people, when they get to this point, they think, now I'm done. Now I'm a spiritual person. Now I'm a religious person. I act properly. I speak properly, I act properly, I don't do wicked deeds, I'm not being dragged around. I'm not deceiving other people anymore, but we might still be deceiving. Who might we still be deceiving? Okay, we ready? ...of love emanating from the lotus feet of Sri Sri Gandharvika Giridhari, thereby delighting yourself and me. So this is deceiving ourselves. I'm very spiritual, aren't I? I'm such a spiritual person. I just do the right thing all the time. I'm surrounded by spiritual sound. And I'm getting so clean, I have this bath. See, my enemies have all been killed. Lust, anger, envy, greed, illusion, they're all dead by the side of the shining path. And I'm taking a spiritual bath. Yes, I am, but I haven't looked up at my shower head. So please excuse me. Someone said the other day, maybe this is a little crude. I said, well, Raghunath Das Goswami is being crude. It's not me. I know Raghunath Swami likes to talk about pride as being the stool of a hog. Right? So please don't blame me. Sometimes these very crude examples are given because, I tell you, it's actually the truth. It's the truth. When we're making the mistakes that Raghunath Das Goswami talks about here, it's the same as if we were taking a bath in the urine of a donkey. And that urine burns. It burns. And we know we're having this problem if we feel a burning in our heart. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about three different kinds of devotees and the different ways in which they can be bathing in donkey urine without realizing it. The first is called the Swanistha Sadhaka. This is people who are in family life. They're not renounced. But they're fully dedicated to bhakti. They don't have a job or a business. They may work full-time for a temple. Full-time they're doing activities of bhakti, but they're not renounced people. They're in the family. And here we've symbolically shown Radha and Krishna are providing all the necessities directly. How can such people be bathing in donkey urine? In the name of offering food to Krishna, they just simply want to eat good things for their tongue. In the name of preaching, they'd rather flatter rich materialists than hang out with simple, humble devotees. In the name of getting things for their service, they're very attached to wealth and opulence. I'd like you all to think about what thread is going through here. In the name of preaching and teaching Krishna consciousness, they're more attached to dry logic than to learning the scriptures. They even consider taking the dress of a renunciate so they'll be more respected. Then we have the next category. These are the family people who work in the world, who follow Varnashram. You know, they're respecting their elders and having a job. And we've symbolically shown Radha and Krishna putting wealth into the men's suitcase here. So how can these people bathe in donkey urine? By having a show of being very strict and secretly, mentally being attached to mundane things of the world. By preferring the association of materialistic people, and here we've shown symbolically the karmis and jnanis and yogis, rather than to associate with saintly persons. Then, maybe there's a little something she could eat while she's waiting. Okay, fine. These are the renunciates, brahmacharis, vanaprastas, sannyasis. They can bathe in donkey urine by thinking, I'm very renounced in advance. I'm better than everybody else. I don't need to respect anyone else because I'm a renunciate. Collecting too many clothes and money and things. Preaching just to attract the opposite sex. This is a problem in every religion, isn't it? Neglecting their worship in order to flatter materialistic and wealthy people. Being envious of materialistic people and meditating on wealth and opulence. Being more attached to their external dress and the rules than actual devotion. And keeping their heart, I don't know how you can see this, but keeping their hearts locked in a box. Doing the formulas with their hearts locked in a box. And again, these are people, they're doing everything nicely, right? Speaking nicely, doing nicely, and they're thinking, yes, I'm a devotee. What is the cure for this? Now, this is very subtle, my dear friends. It's very subtle, and it's so easy to do. It's so easy to think, you know, I'm serving the Lord, but actually, what I really am looking for is something else. I'm serving the devotees, but I'm really looking for is something else. And that is the theme here. Serving, but my real reason for serving, my motive for serving, has to do with me and the material world. And the cure is, instead of having this donkey urine bath, to go bathe in an ocean of love. So remember we got the jewel of love to conquer the mundane talk that was external, localized. Now this is external and pervasive. We're in a jewel of love. And this is an ocean of love at the feet of Gandharva, the artistic singer, and Giridhari, the mountain holder. And if Krishna can hold a mountain, he can certainly remove these impure motives from our heart. And here's the whole picture at Govardhan Hill. So now, absorbing ourselves in this ocean of love, meditating on the love in Vrindavan, we now do service without thinking about wealth and without thinking about attracting people and without having these materialistic motives. We're just thinking, you know, let me do this nice service. But we have one more obstacle on our path. The most subtle, the hardest to detect. At this point in the path, a person has a jewel of love of God. They're swimming in an ocean of love of God. They may even have awakened their relationship with Krishna, Swaragam. They're doing everything right. They're doing everything right, and they're not even doing it to get money or to attract people. They're speaking about Krishna. They're absorbed in spirit. These are saintly persons. The world sees them as saintly persons. And to a large extent, they are saintly persons. But there's still something left. Such persons feel that there's a party going on in their heart. But they're not looking and seeing who's having the party. So we can sing this. As long as the unchaste, dog-eating woman of desire for prestige dances in my heart, how can the chaste and pure lady of love for Krishna touch it? Therefore, O mind, you should always serve the incomparable, beloved, devotee commander of Krishna's army, who will immediately throw out the unchaste woman and establish the pure lady of love in the heart. You notice it says sadhu prema, not prema, but prema, feminine form. So, Raghunathas Goswami says, yeah, we have a party in our heart, but what's being served is dead dog. So some people eat dead dog? They do, but is it a very nice food? Would you like to eat dead dog? Dead dog symbolizes, metaphorically, being famous and being honored. Why? Because a desire to eat dead dog is like an unchaste woman. She's disloyal. Why disloyal? If this person honors me, then I'll serve them. If they don't honor me anymore, I'll serve them. No loyalty, no chastity. And then the pure ladies, they look and they see, I'm not coming in the heart with this kind of party going on. This unchaste dog-eating lady. And Bhaktivinoda Thakura says she has a boyfriend. Her boyfriend is called pretentiousness and deceit. Because when I want to be honored and respected, can I be honest and authentic? Can I talk to you about the mistakes that I've made and the dirt in my heart if I want to be respected? No, I'm going to pretend to be someone else. So Bhaktivinoda Thakura says this desire for honor, we have trophies down there, grow this tree of pretentiousness. And any spiritual practitioner, married, renounced, whatever, can fall into this thing of I want to be respected. Now the person on this level, what do they want to be respected for? Any guess? What do they want to be honored for? Fame. They want fame, but what do they want to be famous for? For being saintly. Because they are pretty saintly. So what is the cure? Cry to the generals in Krishna's army. Not just any devotee, a great general. And these army generals, they will throw this woman and her dog out of the heart. Krishna will then throw them out of the heart. And the heart becomes a beautiful city in which the great ladies of love can enter. Why the generals? Because at this point, we want to be a general. We want to be the saintly person. We want to be seen as the knower of Shastra and the quoter of slokas and the great devotee. So instead we serve one who actually is. When we serve one who actually is, then that desire for our own fame diminishes. And Bhaktivinoda says we serve the great devotees by embracing them, taking their foot dust, taking their food remnants, taking the water that's washed their feet. And then their spiritual potency flows from their heart to our heart. Then our home becomes a beautiful place. This is our painting for this verse, where the chaste ladies of love enter. This is one lila where the gopis dress at Radhakund. All right, we are now at perfection. Now we are at perfection. And now you will see the culmination of Saradamvanhitva, giving up pride. At this point, all deceit is removed from the heart. Everybody ready? Even though I am a cheater, the Lord's mercy can drive away my inherent wicked nature, give me the glowing nectar of divine love, and inspire my heart with the process to worship Sri Gandharvika. Therefore, O mind, with pleading words, you should worship Sri Giridhari here in Vrindavan. You see the humility? There's no more, I'm a saintly person, honor me. I am a wicked cheater. You can give me mercy. You can drive out my wickedness. And you can fill my heart with glowing nectar. I don't just have a jewel of love, localized and external. I'm not just in an ocean of love, pervasive and external. But I have love filling me inside in the heart and illuminating all of my being. Radha and Krishna are pouring this nectar of love into the heart of the fully humble soul. And Radharani's light of Ladini Shakti is illuminating the heart and showing us our eternal form and service. We also ask Krishna, please engage me in the service and worship of Gandharvika. She is the master of all the devotees. And Krishna puts the devotee under her care. And then the devotee prays, I want to offer obeisances to you. I want to dress you. I want to massage your lotus feet. And I want to serve the devotees who serve you. And then how does one meditate in this stage of perfection? That we go on to in the next verse. Sri Radhika. Meditate on Sri Radhika as his most dear object of love. Meditate on Sri Lalita as her incomparable friend. Meditate on Sri Vishakha as the foremost guru distributing the teachings of love. And meditate on Radhakund and Govardhan as givers of the sight and love of Sri Sri Radhakrishna. So, of course, this is done by the beginner, right? The beginner's meditating on Radhakrishna, Lalita, Vishakha, Radhakund, and Govardhan. But now, as the devotee is free from all contamination, they're meditating on these persons to develop and intensify their inner mood of service. This is a painting illustrating a pastime from Ananda Vrindavan Champu. Krishna as the master of Radha, Radha as the beloved of Krishna. And O Radha, please pick up this servant into your boat to save me from material life. Vishakha as the teacher, also in the form of Ramananda Roy teaching Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Vishakha as the Yamuna, the worship of whom destroys any fear of her brother, Yamaraj. Here's Yamuna and Yamaraj on the lap of their father, Suryadev. The great Yamuna, that just by meditating upon her, one gets free from all sins. And Lalita, the dear friend of Radharani, who's always advising Radharani in the worship of Krishna. And Radhakund, just the sight of which gives love for Radhakrishna. And Govardhan, where Krishna is with his friends, who also give the sight and love for Krishna. And this attachment to Govardhan and Radhakund are throughout Raghunath Das Goswami's writing. Now, particularly, Raghunath Das Goswami wants us to meditate on Srimati Radharani, who is in charge of all the devotees, both in their beginning state and in their perfected state. By the waves of her good fortune, she defeats the pride of the newly married gopis of Raja, headed by Chandravali, through her power to control Krishna. So one of the beauties of the Vedic literatures is knowing that the absolute truth is male and female, Radha Krishna, who are one in their identity, the pleasure potency of the Lord, respected by all of the demigods, the white lotus of good fortune in her hand in the moonlight, golden complexion with hair like a snake, the darling of her father, Vrishabhanu, and defeater of the pride of all the gopis of Vrindavan. This is the first time this verse in Bhagavatam have ever been illustrated. This is Krishna returning to the Raslila, and the description in this painting exactly follows the verses in the Bhagavatam and the descriptions of the Acharyas. And you see Radharani's a little angry that Krishna left Raslila, right? And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you ask the mercy of the friends of Radha and Krishna to take you in the boat of their mercy to the shore of Radha Krishna's lotus feet. And now we have this glowing nectar we were drinking. And now this nectar expands to five nectars. And what's beautiful about this verse applies to the very beginners in spiritual life and also to those who at this point of Manashiksha are perfected. Listening to divine pastimes and offering obeisances and worship Govardhan according to the rules. In this way, follow the instructions of Sri Rupa and obtain the direct service of Sri Sri Radha Giridhari, who are captivated by the god of amorous love in the company of their associates of Vajra. So here's the five nectars: worship, glories, meditation, divine pastimes, and obeisances. All of which can be done at Govardhan Hill, chanting glories, offering obeisances, deep meditation, listening to the Bhagavatam. These five nectars given to Govardhan and to the Lord bring us close to him. And particularly Raghunath Das Goswami is attached to Govardhan because he received this Govardhan Shila from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. At Govardhan, Krishna is with his friends and Radha with her friends. They are enjoying so many pastimes. And Govardhan Hill is the best of the devotees. So the devotees pray. O Govardhan, please let me live near you. And Bhaktivinoda Thakura says, first we will serve Radha Krishna from a distance. Then we will help their assistance. And finally, we will serve them directly. But whether a beginner or advanced, everyone should follow the rules of drinking charanamrita, wearing tilak, because this is the inner path. So now the final verse and why we've been singing all these verses. The voice loudly recites these 11 supreme verses which give instructions to the mind and strives to understand all of their meanings completely, obtains the incomparable jewel of worshipping Sri Sri Radha Krishna in the forest of Gokula. And here is this last verse with the jewels of worship of Radha Krishna and the benediction of a lotus. So again, we've gone through this very, very quickly, and I really humbly suggest you take advantage of this new edition.